ॐ नमः प्रणवार्थाय शुद्धज्ञानैकमूर्तये निर्मलाय प्रशान्ताय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः निरञ्जनं नित्यम् अनन्तरूपं भक्तानुकम्पाद्विग्रहं वै ईशावतारं परमेशमीड्यं तं रामकृष्णं शिरसा नमामि यथाग्नेर्दाहिका शक्ति रामकृष्णे स्थिता हिया सर्वविद्यास्वरूपान्तां सारदां प्रणमाम्यहं प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुगे नमः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। कायेन मनसा बुद्ध्या केवलैरिन्द्रियैरपि योगिनः कर्म कुर्वन्ति सङ्गं त्यक्त्वात्मशुद्धये युक्तः कर्मफलं त्यक्त्वा शान्तिमाप्नोति नैष्ठिकीम् अयुक्तः कामकारेण फले सक्तो निबध्यते। इन् दिस् श्लोकास् भगवान् वाज़् इन्सिस्टिङ्ग् आन् दि नेसेसिटि आफ् कर्मयोग वे आफ् लैफ् अन्लेस् ए पर्सन् इस् ए डिवोटि अन्लेस् हि फैन्स् देट् दि लार्ड् इस् दि सेण्टर् आफ् हिस् लैफ् हि केनाट् पर्फार्म् कर्मयोग अट् आल्। वेरि कर्मयोग हेज़् ए पर्पस्, इट् इस् नाट् दि एण्ड्, it is a means towards an end which we call as chitta shuddhi or jnana yogyata. By the performance of karma yoga, a person gradually qualifies himself for the highest knowledge about his own real nature. Therefore everyone has to convert himself first from the status called karmi to karma yogi. That is a great transformation in one's life. 75% of problems of life will go once a person converts himself as a karma yogi, as a devotee. Because karma yogi or devotee has a pillar to hold on in the life, he has a direction for entire life. Others' life will be a rudderless boat, like a rudderless boat which doesn't have any direction, which doesn't have any goal. It will be always like animalistic life, eating, sleeping, procreating and criticizing, laughing and dying. That will be the life. So therefore Bhagavan says, not only in this life you will be a happy person by the performance of karma yoga, karma yoga takes you up to the highest human achievement, namely jnanam, Atmajnanam. In the last shloka, he told, he has compared and contrasted a karma yogi with a karmi. Karma yogi, karma phalam tektva, naishtikim shanti mapnoti, means he attains knowledge or moksha. Whereas, ayuktaha kamakarena phale saktaha san nivadyate. Because of an attachment towards the phalam of his actions, because of intense desires for bhoga, he is not aware of the law of karma. He is subject to ups and downs in life. Results of the actions will take him one day on the top of the world and next day under the bottom of the sea. So, phale saktahasan nivadhyate, being attached to karma phalam, nivadhyate, nishchayena badhyate, already he is in bondage. Still, he will and his bondage, and nitaram badhyate, all the time he will be in the bondage. Even though the difference between the karma yogi and a karmi is in the form of attitude, not in the form of any particular action, even though it is in the form of attitude, karma yoga leads to moksha and karma increases samsara. The result are diagonally opposite. Therefore, Arjuna, be a karma yogi rather than being a karmi and prepare yourself for jnanam, ultimately gain that jnanam. Bhagavan continues. Sarva karmani manasa sanyasyaste sukham vashi navadvare pure dehi naiva kurvan nakarayan. From this shloka onwards, next 7-8 shlokas will be description of a jnani or description of jnana phalam. How an individual finds that ultimate end of his life, ultimate goal of his life. In the last shloka, Bhagavan pointed out karma yogi ultimately gains naishtikim shantihi. Initially he gains relative shantihi through karma yoga. He gains yogyata, jnana yogyata, then goes through jnana yoga, systematic consistent study of Vedantic literatures under the guidance of a competent guru is called jnana yoga. Through jnana yoga he gains atmajnanam, and through atmajnanam he discovers absolute peace, naishtikim shantihi. Naishtikim shantihi is not manas shantihi, but it is swarupa shantihi. There are two types of shanti. One shanti, shanti means what? Peace. One peace depends upon the ups and downs of the mind. Another one, it is our own nature. Shantam Shivam Advaitam Chaturtam Manyante Sa Atma. That shanti is called Swarupa Shantihi. Jnani, through jnanam, discovers that it is his nature. He need not work for it, but it is his nature. He has to work for Manas Shantihi. As a karma yogi, he has to work for manashantihi. He worked for manashantihi. Because of that relative peace of mind only, he could pursue the pursuit of knowledge. Then after pursuing the pursuit of knowledge, he gains that knowledge that he is the source of very shanti itself. He is the embodiment of shanti itself. So therefore Bhagavan says here, vashi dehi sarvakarmani sanyasya sukham aste. The individual, having renounced all the actions, lives comfortably. Vashi means master. Jitendriyaha, one who has conquered his own sense organs and mind. Sarvendriyani vasham asya asidhi vashi. Having become the master of his own sense organs and having gained the knowledge, what he does? Dehi sarvakarmani sanyasya sukham aste. He resides comfortably in the body. The question comes, how can an individual renounce all the actions? Bhagavan here says sarvakarmani. Sarvakarmani means what? All the actions. He only told in the third chapter, nahi kachit kshanam api jatu tishtatya karma krita. Nobody can renounce all the actions. Now here says, this jnani has renounced all the actions. How a person can renounce all the actions? Because even jnani also at least breathes, correct? Whether he eats or not, whether he sleeps or not, at least he breathes. Breathing is an action. So how can you say that jnani renounced all the actions? The answer is manasa sanyasya. Renunciation is not in the literal form, but it is in the form of knowledge. Manasa means atma jnanena. Through atma jnanam, he renounces all the actions. How can you renounce by knowledge the actions? What is the connection between knowledge and action? How can you renounce actions by knowledge? Here, the knowledge is a different type of knowledge. That knowledge is about himself. That aham stula sukshma karana sharirat vetiriktaha pancha kosha vilakshanaha sachidananda swarupaha chaitanya swarupaha aham. I am different from this stula sharira, sukshma sharira and karana sharira, and I am sachidananda swarupaha atma. In the second chapter, the nature of Atma was explained that Atma is independent principle, a conscious principle, and it is one. Whereas bodies are many, Chaitanyam is only one. And bodies are limited, Chaitanyam is sarvagatam, all pervasive. Bodies are subject to arrival and departure, Chaitanyam is nityam. Bodies are subject to modifications, whereas Chaitanyam is nirvikara swarupaha. All these ideas are brought back here again by the Bhagavan. That Jnani has understood that I am the sarvagata Chaitanya vastu. Being sarvagatam, I cannot even move. Then where is the question of doing action? So all the actions are at the level of body mind complex, at the level of ahankara. Every individual, when he says that I, that aham, it has two meanings. One is vachyartha aham, another is lakshyartha aham. Normal meaning, general meaning understood by everyone is relative one, ahankara. Body mind complex only we call as I. If somebody asks who are you, what we say? We tell our biodata. That biodata happened to be about the biodata of either body or mind or intellect. So aham karta, aham bhokta, I have sanchita karma, I have papa karma, I will have agami karma, I am going to this place, I will travel to Vaikuntha, I will travel to Shivaloka. These are all what? Relative meaning of the word called aham. It is lower self, they call it, or lower high. The actual meaning, lakshyartha aham, is the absolute meaning is aham sarvagata atma, which doesn't have any kartrutvam or bhoktrutvam, which doesn't have sanchita karma, agami karma, prarabdha karma, punya, papa, which is not going to travel anywhere, either to Vaikuntha or Shivaloka or Naraka or heavens, and which is the real meaning of the word. Jnani has discovered this real meaning of the word called aham. Through that discovery, he has distanced himself from his own body-mind complex. We also have distanced ourselves from many things. We have distanced ourselves from external objects, external atmosphere or situation or people, but we are not able to distance ourselves from our own body. But Jnani has distanced himself from his own body-mind complex. So our Acharya Swamiji used to say, Jnani is a person who has neighborized his body. So he is not hating that neighbor, nor he is going to be attached with that neighbor, but he is a neighbor. He lives with that neighbor, that's all. We also have neighbors. But nearest neighbor for Jnani is who? The very body mind itself. Therefore, since he has neighborized his own body mind complex, his own body and his own mind, the problems of body and mind becomes the problems of neighbors. So natural neighbor's problem doesn't affect us. If it is my own people, then it affects us. If it is mine, it affects me. Since it is neighbors, it doesn't affect me. Therefore, Jnani says, aham naiva kinchit karomi. I don't do any action, but all the actions, whether it is with will or without will, voluntary or involuntary, pashyan, shrinvan, sprishan, jikhran, achnan, gachan, swapan, shwashan, pralapan, visrujan, ghrinnan, all the voluntary and involuntary actions are done by ahankara, guna, guneshu vartante, indriyani, indriyarteshu vartante. Therefore, I don't have karma, I don't have karma phalam, I don't have janma, I don't have sukha and dukkha, all are for the body only. As long as the individual identifies with this body, then the problems of that body is taken as my problem. Shankaracharya in Adhyasa Bhashyam for Brahma Sutra, he writes, Thuloham, Trishoham, Gauroham, Tishtami, Gachami, Langhayami. So, since he is identified with his body, if body is fat, he says, I am fat. Krishoham, Gauroham. If body is white skin, so he says, I am white. Tishtami. When body sits, he says, I am sitting. Gachami, when body moves, he says, I am going. Langayami, he says. Then Mukaha, Kanaha, Klibaha, Badiraha, Andaha, Ahamiti. With regard to sense organs also, if he doesn't have the capacity to speak, he says himself as Mukaha. If he doesn't have the capacity to hear, he says, I am Kanaha. Like that, all the problems of the sense organs also is taken as his own problems. Then not only that, not only he takes the problems of his sense organs, his body, he takes the problems of others' body and other sense organs. Putra bharyadishu vikaleshu sakaleshu va ahameva vikalaha ahameva sakalaha iti. When their body gets problem, he says, I am in trouble. And some people are there, even though they are not affected by the problems of their family members, if their dog is affected, they are affected. There are some people who are very much attached to even pet dogs. Anyway, with whatever we are attached to, the problems of that object, that person, that individual becomes our problem. Once the individual discovers that, I am Asanga Atma, once the Dehabhimanam is dropped, all the problems of the body, of the Deham also is dropped. In Bhagavadam, there is a beautiful story. A Rishi was asked, how you gained this knowledge? He says, I got 24 gurus. Then about one guru, he says, crow is my guru. How a crow can be your guru? Then he was telling, when I was sitting in the forest, in seclusion, suddenly I saw lot of noise, crow noise. Then when I observed, I found that one particular crow was having something in its mouth, eatable. So as even the crow grabbed that eatable and tried to eat it, other crows are not allowing it. So they also wanted the same eatable. So they tried to snatch from this bird, from this crow. So they were chasing. This particular crow, which was having eatable in its mouth, it tried from one tree to another tree. It goes on, but these other birds are not allowing it to. Then finally it found, see, what is the use of keeping in the mouth if I am not able to eat? What is the use of keeping in the mouth and getting trouble? So he dropped that eatable. Once that eatable is dropped, all the other crows which are chasing also went off from that. Then this particular crow was sitting silently. Appa, at least now I got some wisdom. As long as I have something in my beak, so I am troubled. So once a person is attached to anything, whether it is object or situation or people or even his own body-mind complex, the problems of that object or the people will be our own problem. Here, the jnani has understood that he is Atma, he is not body, he is different from body. Therefore, Dehabhimana Sanyasaha it is. By this, Sanyasa called Dehabhimana Sanyasa or Ahankara Sanyasa or Kartrutva Sanyasa or Sarvakarma Sanyasa. Bhagavan says, Vashi Dehi Manasa Sarvakarmani Sanyasya Sukham Asti. Manasa Sanyasya Sukham Asti. He lives comfortably in spite of problems at the level of body mind complex. Problems of body mind complex, we can say that also is my problem only. But Jnani says, no, it is not my problem. I have millions and trillions of bodies. I should suffer for which body's problem? Because I am the all-pervasive entity in me only. Millions and trillions of bodies are floating on. So why should I bother about one particular body's problem? So all our problems in life becomes relative. Once a person has woken up from dream, all the dream problems are become what? Relative. What he did to solve the problem? Simply he woke up to his higher nature. So all the problems in our life becomes insignificant once we discover this absolute I. In reality, according to even materialistic science also, this body is a insignificant entity in the entire creation. This very earth itself is insignificant in the vastness of the creation. In that earth, one small area called India, In that India also, one small area called Bangalore city, there also one area, Ramnagar or Samnagar, there also one street, one lane, then one house. In that one house also one room and one flat, there also one small 5 feet 6 inches entity. About this entity we think and think and think and lose our ass. Already mind is lost because of non-thinking only these things happen. So we think and think and think without mind and lose our hairs also, become bald head. So Vedanta says, try to understand your double aspects, two aspects you have. From the aspect of body-mind complex, you are insignificant. You cannot boast about yourself. Millions and trillions of people have come, great giants have come, warriors have come, rajas have come, billionaires have come, they have gone also. Nothing happened to this creation. Today also, millions of people come and go. Every day, people get birth and die. Nothing happens to the creation. So never bother about the lot of the body. What will happen after 50 years? What will happen after 60 years? Who will take care of me? Who will do Shraddha Karma to me? Who will do Dana on behalf of me? Where I will go? All these things are from the standpoint of relative I only. Once a person discovers this absolute I, all the problems belong to relative I, becomes so insignificant. In Ramayana, we come across a beautiful incident, how to conquer our problems. Vedanta only, in Ramayana in story form it comes. Hanumanji was asked to bring Sanjeevani Aushadhi. So he went to Himalayas, and Himalaya is not a one particular hill, it is a range of mountains. So he searched here and there, he could not find. So what he did, I should go back, I don't have any time to search also. So entire Himalaya I will carry. How will carry entire Himalaya? At least one particular mountain he might have thought to carry. So how to carry that particular mountain also? Because each mountain is thousands of meters height. So how to carry? What he did? He simply grew infinitely. He grew in such a form that Himalayan particular mountain becomes a pebble in his hands. So Vedanta says, when problem comes to you in the form of Himalaya, don't deal with that problem. You grow infinitely, you grow. As even you grow, the problem becomes, object becomes, when the subject grows, object becomes very small. Happily you can carry and fly also. That is the solution given by the Vedanta. Jnani has discovered that solution. He has discovered the truth that bodies are subject to coming and going, subject to problems and modifications. I have no botheration for that. In fact, in me only all the bodies exist. That is the grand truth. Mayeva sakalam jatam, mayi sarvam pratishtitam, mayi sarvam layam yati. And the entities called gods also exist in me. In me, which me? Not the body-mind complex me, but the absolute Chaitanya me. So, with this knowledge, Jnani lives as a happy person. He's a happy person, Jivan Muktaha, Jivan Api Muktaha, because any living being cannot be a free. Cannot be free, but this person, even though he is living, still he is a free person. Therefore, Vedanta says, your happiness, your peace, your security depends upon this particular knowledge. Identify yourself with your body-mind complex, limited one, and then go through all those sufferings meant for body-mind complex. Be in suffering in samsara. Or identify yourself with the Ananta Chaitanyam, Sarvagata Chaitanyam, with conscious entity. Be as Atma, then you will be a happy person. What you are is determined by what you identify with. Since Jnani has identified with Atma, Bhagavan says, Dehi sarva karmani manasa sanyasya sukham aste. Since he has identified himself with Atma, all the properties, all the qualities of Atma becomes the qualities of jnani, all the descriptions of atma becomes jnani's description. So he says jnani resides in the body, sarva karmani manasa, renouncing all the actions by knowledge. So where he resides? Navadware pure aste. Where he resides? He resides in the body which has 9 gateways. Navadvara puri. This entire body is compared to a walled city. City with all over walls. So others cannot come and attack. But this city has 9 gateways. If it is totally walled city, so no transaction will happen. So through this body, transaction happens through 9 gateways. What are they? We all know. Sapta Shirshanyani Arvagve. In the head itself, 7 gateways are there. 2 ear holes and nostrils too, then eyes, then 1 mouth. My God, 1 mouth. So through that, 7 gateways, and below part of the body has 2 gateways, that evacuation holes are excretory organs. And what is the wall? Our skin is the wall. Without skin, human being or any being cannot even survive for a day also. And what are all the roads? City means there will be roads. All the blood vessels are roads, and kilometers of kilometers roads are there. Who are all workers? The prana, pancha prana are the workers. Who is the Raja? Dehi. Atma is the Raja. And roads are there means there will be blocks also. Correct? That's why doctors say bypass. Whenever blockades happen, what they do? They bypass the particular blood vessel. So all these are all working for whose sake? For the sake of the Raja Dehi. And jnani being Atma, his body is only a residence for him. He never says, I am the body. He never says, I am residence. He says, I am in the residence. I am in the body. So Bhagavan uses the word Dehi. Dehi means one who has Deha. Dehaha asya asti iti Dehi. Deha becomes his possession. For other people, Deha is subject itself. It's not a object, it is not a possession. But jnani has identified himself with Chaitanyam, Atma. Therefore, Deha becomes his residence or house or possession. Now the question comes, how can you say Atma resides in body? Just now you told Atma is Sarvagataha, all pervasive entity. How can you say that Atma resides in the body? Because whenever you point out a residence, the residing entity is limited by the residence, correct? Is limited by the residence. So how can you say Atma, which is all pervasive entity, resides in the body? Shankaracharya nicely writes, Atmanaha upalabdhi sthanam. Even though Atma is sarvagataha, still the manifestation of Atma happens only in body. Everywhere Atma is there, but to say that I am Atma, you need a body. To say that I am Atma, you need a body. Body is the only medium to experience the manifestation of Chaitanyam. Nowhere you will find out Chaitanyam. If anybody says, I saw Chaitanyam in front of me everywhere, there are some yogis claim that they have seen Chaitanyam, they have seen God. God can never be seen. God's manifestation or form can be seen. Chaitanyam can never be seen. Why? If Chaitanyam is seen, who is the seer? Who is the seer? Jadam will be the seer. How can a inert entity can be a seer? So seer must be always conscious entity. The seen must be always an object of seeing or object of perception will be always Jatam. So therefore, you can never see Atma or God or Ishvara anywhere other than in your own body, other than your idea that I exist, there is nothing called seeing God anywhere. Therefore, we can say Atma resides in the body also. Sarvagata Chaitanyam resides everywhere. But you understand that through this medium it exists. Therefore, in body also Atma resides. When our scripture says Bhagavan is in Vaikuntha, we have to add one more word. Bhagavan is in Vaikuntha also. Understood? If you put Bhagavan is Vaikuntha only, then you limit that Bhagavan. Then Bhagavan becomes a problematic individual. So why he should live there and without transacting with me, why he has created this world and all other philosophical question comes, the problem comes for Bhagavan, even Bhagavan. So anything limited entity cannot be Bhagavan or Chaitanyam. Therefore, what we have to say? Atma resides in the body also. Then another question comes, why Bhagavan says, Vashi Dehi Navadvara Pure Aste? What is the speciality in saying Jnani resides in the body? Even ignorant Dehi also, Jnani Dehi resides in body, Bhagavan says. Vashi Dehi means what? Jnani Dehi Navadvara Pure Aste. When he says, even ignorant Dehi also, Dehi means what? One who resides in the body. Even ignorant person also resides in body only. How can Bhagavan say that Jnani resides in body? The answer nicely Shankaracharya gives, Jnani alone discovered this fact that he is not the home, he is the indweller in that home. He is not body, that he is the indweller in that body. Whereas Ajnani says, I am body. You ask anyone, hey, where you are? By telephone you ask your relatives, friends, you ask, hey, where you are? He will never say, I am in the body. Anybody says? I am in Chennai, I am in home, I am in office. Correct? I am in road, I am in bazaar. He never says, I am in the body. If he says, then you will feel something happened. He might have gone to Ramakrishna Ashrama, Saturday class, Gita class. That is the reason this something happened. So nobody says, he doesn't say, I am in the body. He doesn't say that body is my residence. Whereas Jnani says it is my residence. I am not that. I am not the house. I am the indweller in that house. So what is the benefit of that knowledge? Benefit is whenever house has problem, I will not have a problem. Because I don't know that I am different from my house where I am staying. Whenever body is sick, I say I am sick. When body travels, I say I travel. So, entire humanity has forgotten this fact that individual is an indweller in the body. The fact is what? I am the indweller in the body. But what I say? I am the body. Therefore, Bhagavan reminds us that Jnani, by knowledge, he has discovered. The benefit of this wisdom is, whenever body has problem, I won't say I have a problem. I will say, I reside in this problematic body. I reside in this problematic body. We come across in Mahapurush Maharaj's life. Mahapurush Maharaj Shivananji Maharaj, direct disciple of Sri Ramakrishna, he got paralysis stroke. So one night diarrhea happened. He was on the deathbed. Next day somebody has come, I think doctor only. Then he asked, Maharaj, how are you? Maharaj casually said, I am fine. Then doctor surprised, what? You are fine? But I got today a telephone call that you are at deathbed and you went through all these problems like that. Then Mahapurush Maharaj said, oh, you mean that body has this problem, but I am fine. It's a very natural reply it is. When you read the Mahatma's great Jnani's life, he come across. So he will say, I reside in this problematic body. As I reside in millions of body, this also my residence. As long as this body is leased to me, I will manifest in this body without being affected by the problems of body. Then another question comes. These are terse shlokas containing lot of idea. Without bhashyam, it is very difficult for us to understand all these terse, because these are all Vedantic words, Upanishadic words. And this only makes Gita as a స్మృతి శాస్త్రం యాజ్ ఏ జ్ఞాన శాస్త్రం ఆర్ మోక్ష శాస్త్రం. సో లాట్ ఆఫ్ ఐడియాస్ ఆర్ దే. శంకరాచార్య బ్రింగ్స్ అవుట్ ఆల్ దీస్ ఐడియాస్ ఇన్ హిస్ భాష్యం. ఐ ట్రై టు షేర్ వన్ ఆర్ టూ. ఎ క్వశ్చన్ కమ్స్, హౌ కెన్ యూ సే దేహి ఈజ్ నాట్ అఫెక్టెడ్ బై ది బాడీస్ ప్రాబ్లం? వాట్ జ్ఞాని సేస్, ఐ ఎమ్ నాట్ బాడీ, ఐ స్టే ఇన్ ది ప్రాబ్లమాటిక్ బాడీ అండ్ ఐ ఎమ్ నాట్ అఫెక్టెడ్ బై దట్ ప్రాబ్లమ్స్ ఆఫ్ ది బాడీ. వెన్ జ్ఞాని సేస్, ద క్వశ్చన్ కమ్స్, హౌ కెన్ యూ సే దట్ ఇన్ డ్వెల్లర్ ఇన్ ది ప్రాబ్లమాటిక్ ప్లేస్ ఈజ్ నాట్ అఫెక్టెడ్ బై ది ప్రాబ్లమ్స్ ఆఫ్ ద ప్లేస్? సపోజ్ ఎ పర్సన్ ఈజ్ లివింగ్ ఇన్ ఎ హౌస్ వేర్ ఇన్ దట్ రూఫ్ ఈజ్ నాట్ దేర్ ఆర్ లీకింగ్. సో వెన్ రెయిన్ కమ్స్, వెన్ హౌస్ లీక్స్, హీ ఆల్సో ఈజ్ అఫెక్టెడ్. అండ్ వెన్ కార్ గెట్స్ యాక్సిడెంట్, ఎ పర్సన్ ఈజ్ సిట్టింగ్ ఇన్ ది కార్, హీ రిసైడ్స్ ఇన్ దట్ కార్ అట్ దట్ పర్టికులర్ మూమెంట్. వెన్ కార్ గెట్స్ యాక్సిడెంట్, హీ ఆల్సో గెట్స్ హర్ట్. సో హౌ కెన్ యూ సే ఇన్ స్పైట్ ఆఫ్ లివింగ్ ఇన్ ది ప్రాబ్లమాటిక్ బాడీ ద జ్ఞాని ఈజ్ నాట్ అఫెక్టెడ్ ఆర్ దేహి ఈజ్ నాట్ అఫెక్టెడ్? ద ఆన్సర్ ఈజ్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ ఈజ్ రాంగ్. ఎగ్జాంపుల్ ఈజ్ రాంగ్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్. వాట్ ఈస్ దట్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్? ఎ పర్సన్ లీవ్స్ ఇన్సైడ్ ది ప్రాబ్లమాటిక్ హౌస్ విల్ హ్యావ్ ప్రాబ్లమ్స్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ది ప్రాబ్లమ్స్ ఆఫ్ ది హౌస్. కరెక్ట్. ప్రాబ్లమ్స్ ఇన్ ది హౌస్ విల్ అఫెక్ట్ ది ఇన్ డ్వెల్లర్ ఆల్సో. హియర్ ద ఎంటిటీ ఈజ్ వాట్? లిమిటెడ్ ఎంటిటీ. ఎ పర్సన్ హూ లీవ్స్ ఇన్సైడ్ ది హౌస్ ఈజ్ ఎ లిమిటెడ్ ఎంటిటీ. దట్ లిమిటెడ్ ఎంటిటీ విల్ బి అఫెక్టెడ్ బట్ ద స్పేస్ ఇన్సైడ్ ది హౌస్ విల్ నాట్ అఫెక్ట్. వెన్ రెయిన్ పోర్స్, రెయిన్ డజంట్ అఫెక్ట్ ది space inside the house. When car gets accident, the person who is sitting inside the car gets hurt, but the space inside the car doesn't get hurt because atma is not a limited thing, it is infinite, it is sarvagata chaitanyam, therefore it is not affected in spite of being associated with the problematic body mind complex. Then another question comes, okay, body is inert, how can it work? If you say because he resides, because he is indwelling in that body, the body is sentient, then the idea comes that atma or chaitanyam is cause for the actions of body directly or indirectly. And Gita also in later portions Bhagavan says ఈశ్వర సర్వభూతానా హృద్దేశే అర్జున తిష్టతి బ్రాహ్మయన్ సర్వభూతాని యంత్రారూఢాని మాయయ. ఇన్ ఎవ్రీ వన్స్ హార్ట్ భగవాన్ మేనిఫెస్ట్ ఆర్ ఆత్మా మేనిఫెస్ట్. బికాస్ ఆఫ్ దట్ మేనిఫెస్టేషన్ ఓన్లీ ఎవ్రీబడి ఈజ్ యాక్టివ్. సో దెన్ ఆత్మా బికమ్స్ ది కాజ్ ఫార్ బాడీస్ యాక్షన్, వెదర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ గుడ్ యాక్షన్ ఆర్ బ్యాడ్ యాక్షన్. Directly or indirectly, Atma becomes the cause for dharma and adharma. The answer is no. Atma is naiva kurvan na karayan aste, doing nothing or instigating nothing. Atma resides in the body. Atma being sarvagataha is akarta, an all-pervasive entity. Cannot do anything. Like space, space don't do anything, it doesn't do anything. Being asangaha na karayan, na karayan means what? Without instigating, it doesn't instigate the body to act, nor atma acts by itself. What it does, it exists. Simply it exists. You cannot tell anything about atma other than this one thing, that it exists. That's why Acharya says, any statement about yourself other than this one statement, I am, other than this one statement, any statement about yourself will be illogical. Vedanta will prove anything you add with that statement, I am, will be illogical. So when people, bhakta, say that everything is according to Lord's will, these are all bluffs, you know, religious bluffs. When you say Bhagavan does everything is the will of the Lord, I am the mere instrument, when you say, actually you scold Lord. Vedanta says, actually you scold the Lord. Akramas are done by your own desire. But after doing akrama also, when we say everything is according to the Lord's wish. So Vedanta says these are all bluff. Bhagavan neither wish nor wills nor acts nor instigates. Our Acharya Swami used to call these statements as Vedantic bombs. We should not discuss this to all, because we have come with all sincerity. We have to tell this truth. What is the truth? What is the truth? Naiva kurvan na karayan. Bhagavan or Atma doesn't do anything, nor he instigates. Instigator means what? Body mind complex becomes instrument, and the instigator Atma becomes the subject. So Vedanta says, sannidhi matrene guna guneshu vartante. Just mere presence, in the presence of the Chaitanyam, this body mind complex transacts. Therefore, for Atma in Upanishad, anyatra dharmat, anyatra adharmat. It is different from dharma and different from adharma also. So never say, I am the instrument, Bhagavan is the instigator. Never say, it is a scolding. From the devotional angle, that is for children, initially, I am the doer idea is there. When I say I am the doer, what I mean? Body mind only I mean. So to get out that idea, religion introduces one more idea, that you are not the doer, God is the doer, and you are only instrument. Nimitta matram. In Gita also Bhagavan says many places, your body mind is an instrument in my hands. He says, nimitta matram bhava savya sachin. Once you take it as an absolute statement, then Bhagavan becomes samsari. Suppose somebody kills. The criminal is asked, who has instigated you? You show a person. That fellow gets more punishment than the actual killer. Who has instigated gets more punishment. So if I say, God is the instigator, according to his will only, I am leading my life, then all the problems of my life belong to whom? To Bhagavan only. So it is for children, it is for seekers, not as the fact. Then what is the fact about Bhagavan? What is the fact about Atma? Bhagavan exists or I exist. In the presence of Chaitanyam, everything happens. That is the nature of the body-mind complex. Like in the presence of space, every action, every transaction happens. In the presence of sunlight, so many transactions happens. Somebody reads Bhagavatam, somebody sees some unwanted film, somebody does good seva, somebody does criminal actions. So you cannot call sun or space, hey come both of you, in your presence only happen. You have given accommodation, hey space, you have given accommodation, so you also will be punished. You won't call the sun and say that you have provided light, therefore all these things happen. So Bhagavan is neither the cause nor the instigator of any action. In the presence of the Chaitanyam, everything happens. Like in the presence of magnet, all the iron pins automatically get attracted. Thus, Jnani discovered his nature as akarta akarayita atma. Neither he is the doer nor he is the instigator to do any action. He lives as a happy person, jivan muktaha. Another question comes. When you say Jnani lives as jivan muktaha, as akarta or akarayita, that means what? After Jnana only it is correct? Because manasa sanyasya sarva karmani sanyasya aste, he told, sukham aste. When he got this Jnanam, after some time only he got, after birth, while getting birth, he was not a Jnani. After some time only, he got this Jnanam. So before getting Jnanam, he might have been a doer. Do you agree that? Bhagavan says, naiva kurvan na karayam. Real I, the Chaitanyam, never does any action, never instigates any action. Not after the jnanam the status, before the jnanam also this is the fact. He is always akarta, he is always akarayita, non-instigator. Before jnanam, he doesn't know this fact. After jnanam, he owns up this fact. After jnanam, he doesn't renounce the karma physically. He renounces the ignorance that I am karta. I am the doer is an ignorance. I have done this. I will do this. I am doing this. All these are all ignorance. This ignorance is renounced, not the actions physically. So, Atma need not renounce karma because it is nitya karta. It doesn't do any action also. It cannot do any action being all pervasive. Action means movement. All pervasive entity cannot move. Therefore, Atma cannot do any action. So, what is the difference between Ajnani and Jnani? Both are Atma. One knows this fact, another doesn't know this fact. So, difference is knowledge in the form of knowledge. Samsara also because of absence of this knowledge, because of this ignorance. So, Jnani knows that I, the Atma, cannot do any action. I, the Anatma, because Anatma also I only he calls, my body only he says. Even though he is Jnani, he says what? My body, for transactional purpose, my body only he says. So, I, the Atma, cannot do any action. I, the Anatma, that is body-mind complex, cannot renounce all actions. Both this knowledge he has. In spite of doing karma, in spite of doing actions, intensely, I, the Atma, am nitya nirvikaraha. Sharirastopi kaunteya na karoti na lipyate. Bhagavan says in the 18th chapter that even if Atma resides in the body, even the Jnani resides in the body, Shariratthaha api na karoti na lipyate, not affected by the actions done by body-mind complex. So, sarva karma sannyasa means what? Ajnana sannyasa or ahankara sannyasa or adhyasa sannyasa. Sannyasa of ignorance or sannyasa of superimposition. Then the question comes, if Atma cannot do any action, body also as an inert entity cannot do any action. So how these actions take place? Everywhere we find nobody is at rest. Even 12 o'clock also, you see Bangalore road, all are speeding up like anything. And even in home also, nobody is at rest. So how this transaction happened? Because inert object cannot act by itself. Atma being all pervasive, that also cannot act. Then how this transaction happens? Bhagavan replies that in the next shloka. Na kartrutvam na karmani lokasya srijati prabhu na karma phala sanyogam svabhavastu pravartate. These are all highly philosophical shlokas. Those who have Upanishadic background, they will enjoy. Bhagavan says, Atma does not cause any doership. Kartrutvam na srijati. Lokasya karmani na srijati. Atma does not cause any karma also, any action also. This karma word, Sanskrit word, has many meaning. One popular meaning is action. Another meaning is karma phalam. Result of the karma also is called karma. Karma phalam. Punya karma, papa karma, we say, na? Then another meaning is there. Yaga yajnatis, shraddha, tarpanadi karmas, they call it. And another meaning is there according to Sanskrit grammar, that is object in the world also is called karma. The objects we see in the creation, that also is called karma. Therefore, here Bhashyakara gives two types of meaning. Lokasya karmani na srijati. First meaning is Atma doesn't do any action. Atma doesn't have doership is the first statement. Kartrutvam
na srijati means atma doesn't have any doership. Karmani na srijati means atma doesn't do any action, or atma doesn't create any objects in the world. Silently Bhagavan negates his position called Ishwaratva. What we say? Everything is created by God. Bhagavan says it is a bluff. I never created anything. So these are all disturbing ideas, especially for sentimentalistic bhaktas. There are varieties of bhaktas. Application, appeal giving bhakta doesn't bother about all these things. Jignyasu bhakta also doesn't bother because he want to know the truth. Jnani bhakta also doesn't bother because he has already gained the truth. That in between there is a sentimentalistic bhaktas, emotional bhaktas, for them these are all disturbing shlokas, but that is a fact. Even though it is a disturbing fact, it is a fact. What is that fact? Bhagavan says, lokasya karmani na srijati. Atma doesn't create any object in the creation. That means what? I don't create any creation at all. Then who creates? Who creates? Ultimately, Vedanta will say, there is no creation at all. Who creates your dream world, you tell? Who creates your dream world? How you created your dream world? When you created your dream world? Can you tell the time? Like scientists try to say that Big Bang time, when T is equal to 0. T is equal to 0 means what? In Big Bang theory, there is a statement called when T is equal to 0. The very statement is a wrong statement, because when you can use, only you are within the time frame. When time is equal to 0, how can you use when? So, these are all problems for thinking people, not for general mind, don't worry. So, Bhagavan says, lokasya karmani na srijati. I don't create any, atma don't cause any action, or atma doesn't create any objects in the world. Na karma phala sanyogam srijati. Atma doesn't produce any karma phalam also. And karma phala sanyogam also. Karma phala sanyogam means what? Connecting the karta and the result. Connecting the doer and the result of the action is called karma phala sanyogam. That means what? Sending exact address. Result should be sent through courier service. Whether the person, the jiva, is in a donkey body or monkey body or worm body, exactly it should reach. Who has to do this? Ishwara only is doing, according to scripture, religion. Veda itself says Ishwara is karma phala dhata. Here Bhagavan silently he denies, I am not karma phala dhata also. I am Shuddha Chaitanyam. In reality, I am Shuddha Chaitanyam. I am neither the creator nor the sustainer, nor the karma phala dhata. Then who are you? Bhagavan says, Prabhu. Atma here is called Prabhu. Prakarshena swayam bhati, swayam bhavati iti Prabhu. Swayam prakasha sattvaha. I can say about myself only one thing, Bhagavan says. I can say about myself only one thing, what? I exist. You also can say only one factual statement about you, that I am, nothing else. You cannot add any more word at all. Any word you heard about yourself or about God, when you talk about Him, because He is a third person, so He is a He is, that's all. When you talk about you, I am. These two sentences are only correct sentences without any logical problem. All other sentences will have logical problem. So Bhagavan says, I illumine, I exist as an illumining factor. Because mere existence without Chaitanyam cannot be recognized. So anything that exists should be Chaitanyam also, illumining factor also. Doing nothing, instigating nothing. I accommodate and illumine everything like space and sun. Then question comes, if Atma or God is not the cause, how does this inert body act? Bhagavan says, Svabhavastu pravartate. It's a very, very mischievous answer, but actually factual answer, but in a mischievous way. Svabhavaha pravartate. Bhagavan says, in the presence of me, in the presence of Atma, it is the nature of the body-mind complex to act. Like in the presence of sun, because of sunlight only people get activated. Without sunlight, what you do? You sleep generally. Hibernated, they call it. When sunlight is not there at all, what living beings do? Hibernated. Hibernation, they call it. So you sleep. So all activities are because of the presence of sunlight. In the presence of sunlight, it is the nature of the body-mind complex to act. So bhavaha of anatma of body-mind complex is what? Modification. Transaction or modification is the subhavaha. In the third chapter, Bhagavan silently told, gunaha guneshu vartante. Body-mind complex transacts with this external world. Both are guna, both are inner, both are prakriti. Then another question comes, if you have Upanishadic background. In the Keno Upanishad, there is a question. Keneshitam patati preshitam manaha. Kena prana praiti yuktaha keneshitam vachamimam vatanti, like that. Because of which all this inner body mind complex acts, that is the question. And we also in so many Puranic stories and other religious teachings, that what we have understood, that everything happens, even the shaking of leaf happens because of Lord's will. That's what our understanding. Suddenly now you say, he neither has a will, nor he instigates anybody to have a will, nor he does any action directly or indirectly, nor he connects the doer and the results of the action. So how you deny? How you deny? How you deny? Shastra says, it is as though acting. It is as though acting. Because Atma, what is the definition of Atma or Bhagavan? All-pervasive entity. Then in all-pervasive entity, all these body-mind complex will be there or not? It is included. All the body-mind complexes are included in the conscious entity, infinite conscious entity. Body is I, but I am not body. Understood? Body is Atma, but I am not body. That is the understanding. Beggar is the actor, but actor is not the beggar. Very peculiar Vedantic equation. If B is equal to A must be equal to B. But Vedanta says B, beggar is A, actor. But actor is not beggar. Very, very peculiar equation. Entire Vedanta resides in this equation. Body is annagataha, is Atma. Annamaya, Atma. Then pranamayaha atma. So prana also is atma only. That's why I say I am hungry. When I say I am fat, what I mean? Body is atma. Then when I say I am hungry, what I mean? Prana is atma. When I say I am angry, what I mean? Mind is atma. But atma is not mind. Mind is atma, body is atma, and thinking, thought process also nothing but atma, because atma cannot exclude anything. So in short, because of ignorance, that Atma includes everything, individual tries to identify himself with one particular thing, either with body or mind or something. So therefore he considers he is a thinker. Shastra says, don't say you are a thinker, say as though you are a thinker. Understood? Don't say you are in trouble. You say, as though you are in trouble, as though you are in samsara, as though you have to struggle for freedom, as though you should receive the grace of the Lord, and as though you have to pray to that Lord, and as though you have to go for jnana yoga, as though you have to gain the knowledge, and as though you get freedom. Everything is as though. The difference between jnani and ajnani is, he says, it is a fact that I suffer, is a fact. I do spiritual practices, is a fact. And God exists different from me, is a fact. And he is a karma phala tata, is a fact. And he has to bless me, is a fact. And he will save me, I am waiting for his grace. That also is a fact. When he blesses me or saves me, I will get moksha. That also is a fact. Shastra says, lelayati dhyayati eva, lelayati eva. Vedanta ask us to convert that eva. Eva means samsara. Eva means moksha. If you consider yourself as a body, then you are in samsara. If you consider that as though you have a body, you are a jnani. As though you have a mind, as though you are a meditator, as though you are a seer, as though you are a taster, as though you are a walker, as though you are a samsari, as though you pray, as though you want Bhagavan's grace, and as though you will gain the knowledge, and as though you will become moksha. Very tough understanding of the fact comes once in a while in Gita, because Gita 90% talks about psychology and spiritual practices, but 10% it should talk about at least what is fact. What is that fact? What is that fact? Nobody is in samsara. Nobody is in bondage. Nobody needs any freedom. Nobody needs any savior. When understood the meaning of the word I, more details we will see in the next class.
Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Paramatmane Pranadakleshanashaya Govindaya Namo Namaha.
But this knowledge will come only when we go through all the processes.